Got to thinking about the song, forgot to turn it back on. If you would like to turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, we'll be looking at the sixth chapter. As we look where Joshua is about to lead the Israelites into the land of Canaan to begin the conquering of the land, as was promised to the Israelites, promised to Abraham, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, that his descendants would receive the land, and this is where the fulfillment of that promise begins. As we look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we read in that wonderful chapter of faith, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And so when we look at these things, it's a wonderful thing to be able to look and to see how God worked with them and how God fulfilled these things and how God delivered unto them the land. Joshua, of course, as we've been studying in our lessons on Sunday morning, was taking the place of Moses. And Moses, having died before they crossed over, he's to lead them into the conquering of the land. And they are at the brink of possessing the land. They've crossed the land of Jordan, and the people of the land are afraid. And as they enter in, they have been spending 40 years wandering due to a lack of faith. They begin to enter into the land of Canaan with a strengthened faith in some ways. But obviously, as we see further in the history of the Jewish people, it did not last very long. But they had a faith that allowed them to enter into the land of Canaan and to conquer the greatest city that there was there in their path. And as we look there, we can see that in the beginning of their journey in, to go in to conquer the land of Jericho, God gave instructions on how they were to capture the city. Just like we go back to the days of Noah, and God told Noah exactly what he needed to do to build the ark, to make it to where it would be pleasing in his sight to save him and his family. And we could go further in the book of Judges and see where God led Gideon and made sure that everything was just as he wanted it to be, and saying, you've got too many, or they'll think that you delivered yourselves and not that I was there. We see that God gives instructions on how to conquer the city. In verse 2 of Joshua chapter 6, the Lord says to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. It's interesting to look here and to note that this is one of the very same cities that the men of the various tribes that went in and spied out the land there when they first came up out of the land of Egypt. This was one of those great big walled cities that they were so afraid of that they felt that they could not conquer, that they did not have the strength. But God tells them, just as Moses and Joshua and Caleb tried to tell them in that day and time, God will deliver it. And God is saying, I've given Jericho into your hand. If you go further there in verse 3, we see where he tells them to march around the city, all the men of war encircling the city once. And you are to do this for 6 days. Now as we continue reading there in verse 4, we see that 7 priests were to carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And going on into verse 13, we see that those 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns were before the ark of the Lord. They went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before the ark before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Now, just imagine, if you would, the situation here. You've got the land of Canaan. You've got this great big walled city. You've got the people of Israel that had come across the Jordan. And the city of Jericho had been completely and totally closed up. And God said, here's how you're going to conquer it. You're going to go, you priest, and you armed men of war. You're going to go and you're going to walk. And while you're walking, these 7 priests carrying these trumpets of ram's horn, they're going to blow. And that's what you're going to do once every day for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, we can see there in the latter part of verse 4 that they were to march around the city. And on the 7th, in the latter part of verse 4, on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And so 6 days in a row, they march around the city once. On the 7th day, they march around the city these 7 times. The priests blow, and as we look back in verse 10, we can see that Joshua told the people, you keep silent. You're not to shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout, then you shall shout. And so you can just imagine what this looked like as God is telling them to go and to march around the city. And the people are just standing there silent. And you can just imagine what it looked like from inside the city there of Jericho. And they were, of course, frightened. They had seen what the Lord had done with the Israelites against the king of Bashan, against all those that had stood against them. They had heard about the wondrous things that had been done coming up out of the land of Egypt. But here, these people are coming and just walking around the city. Now, if we were to look at that in the mind of a military person, we would think this is foolish. Just go and march around the city six times, once a day, every day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, march around it seven times. As we go on and look there in verse 5, in Joshua chapter 6, in verse 5, Joshua repeating the words of the Lord said, "It shall be that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." And it's interesting to look and to see these things, and to see how these things were to be carried out. And as we go further and look there in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "At the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Going on in verse 20, we see, "So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city." It's amazing to look and to see these things, exactly how they fell out. How God literally delivered the city into their hands. That there was really no work involved as far as their laying up siege ramps and encircling the city and starving the people until they became so weak that they had to come out. None of that took place. In all these things, it was very clear that God was giving them the city. That He, in His plans, was telling them what they needed to do to capture the city. But remember, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Once again, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. You see, it did take an effort on their part. It took a faith in God and a faith that led them to obey what He told them to do, even though it may have sounded ridiculous. It may have appeared ludicrous. Now, as we go further, we want to look at some lessons real quickly that we can learn from this incident. And so as we look at the fall of Jericho, the first thing that we want to note is that there's a great difference. There's a great difference between the way of God and the way of man. If we were to go and to look and to spy out the city, we would try to find some chink in its armor. We would try to find some way that we could get some men into the city so that we could open up the gates and we could run in and attack the city and catch them asleep. There are many instances where things like that happened. The city of Babylon fell in just such a manner. The king and all of his armed forces got drunk in a great feast, and the Medes and the Persians changed the route of the river and just walked right into the city and took the city of Babylon almost without a fight. But here we see that there's a great difference in what God has set forth. He said, "I want you to just walk. Just walk around. The trumpets are to be blown by the priests. They're to carry the ark. The armed forces are to go before and after. And you just walk. And at the right time, you shout." In Isaiah chapter 55, there in verse 8, Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's interesting that we take many of the most what we claim to be the most brilliant minds, and we lift them up to God status. Carl Sagan was one of those, and there are many others who people think them to have a brilliant mind, and it seems to me that the more they have pens in their pocket, the higher we lift them up in stature, and we the people of the world treat them as a god. And when they say, "Well, it's ridiculous to believe that God created the world, that it just came about." I read a few things looking at the political realm and the beliefs on evolution and things of that nature. And it's interesting to look and to see what the people of the world, how they ridicule those who believe in God. But we see here, His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are greater than ours. Once again, a military mind would look at Jericho and look at the Israelites going around and go, "Well, there's no way they're going to conquer that. That's ridiculous." And I can just imagine, even though they had heard of the powerful works that had gone on, I would imagine there were some there in Jericho that were going, "Oh, well, we're okay. They're crazy." Maybe we've just been hearing rumors. Maybe there's really not a God that's helping them. And you can imagine how they felt when the walls began to fall down around them. God's way accomplished the goal that He had in mind. They could not have conquered Jericho without doing it according to the way of God. We can see that as you go further in the book of Joshua. And after they've conquered the city of Jericho, they go on to the very tiny city of Ai. A city that the Israelites could have easily conquered solely on their own without the power of God. And they're left running with their tail between their legs. Because they had failed to keep God's command and leaving all these things behind and dedicating the gold and the silver to God in Jericho. You know, we should never question the purpose of God's instructions. Many people go, well, why baptism? Really, what is it? What going down into the water and what good is it? Holy water? Is there something special in that water? No, it's the same kind of water you have running out of your sinks at home. Comes from the same sources. Why baptism? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? But we can see that God and His instructions is just as plain for us today as He was then. You go walk around the city, and on the seventh day you walk around seven times. When I tell you to shout, you shout. It was very simple, very straightforward, and the same is true today. In Mark chapter 16, then verse 16, Jesus says, He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. It's very clear. It's very straightforward. There should be no questions about it. Yet, this is the very thing that many people go, okay, I'll believe, but I don't want to be baptized. I don't see the point. It doesn't matter if you see the point. God said you've got to do it. That should be enough. But we don't have the faith that the Israelites had and their willingness to go and to follow through with what God had set before them, even though from man's mind it seemed impractical. We can see further in the New Testament Scriptures in Acts chapter 22, there in verse 16, as Paul is recounting his conversion, he says that Ananias came and said to him, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Many people stumble regarding baptism because they can't see the connection between the command and the promise. If you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. Many question the effectiveness of baptism, but we need to understand it's God's way. And God's way will always work. And it's also interesting to look at God's plan to expand His kingdom. You obey the gospel, you go and you tell someone. And then they obey the gospel, then they go and tell someone. And we look and go, how in the world can this small group spread the gospel to the area around it? How in the world can this small band of Christians spread the gospel into the world as we're commanded? And so we begin to think in under human terms. Well, we've got to set up organizations, and we've got to have these organizations. We've got to be organized so that we can reach more people and we can do a greater work. And we need to pool our money together because this money here is not enough to spread the gospel around the world. And so as congregations, we need to pool all of our money together so that we can spread the gospel even further. That's what man believes. But without doing any of that, the first century church spread the gospel. We read as the Apostle Paul in all of his journeys, they said of him and those that were with him, the men who have turned the world upside down have now come to our city. The gospel was spread throughout the world. Oh yes, there are many things that man does and that we can do to fill this building. But it's not God's way. Therefore, it does not save. We need to understand that we should be doing things according to God's will. And even though it may not make sense, even though we may think we've got a better way, and many people go, well, I've got a better way. How about we just have the sinner's prayer? We'll just have a prayer of prayer. That's real simple. Anybody will do that. And that'll get them to heaven. But will it? No. Just like if they didn't walk around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day, the walls would not have fallen flat. If the time had come and the priest had blown the trumpets and Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord has delivered the city unto you," and they didn't shout, those walls would have remained standing. They had believed in the power of God, a belief that caused them to act according to His will. They would have never received that city. We need to understand the awesome power of God. You know, we limit His power nowadays. We say the world, they don't want to receive the gospel. The gospel just doesn't really have the effect on the world that it should. There can be no doubt but that the walls of Jericho fell by the power of God. There are those who try to find scientific reasons for various things that occurred. And I tend to forget a lot of the ridiculous things that I read. And there are those who have tried to say, well, the number of people that were in the Israelite nation walking around, that they weakened the foundation of the city of Jericho, and that's what caused the walls to fall down. All those feet trampling around it. Really? I mean, come on. Is that the best you can come up with? Is that the best that you can find? This city had been there for ages. There had been people that had walked around that city. There had been many things that had gone on. This wall was thick. There was no walking around that was going to loosen the foundation of the city. God's mighty power brought down the walls. The walls fell because God caused them to fall. Just like this earth, people want to try and simplify and bring it down into a human scale. Well, you know, the earth was created through a great explosion many, many years ago, but it wasn't really life-supporting until a certain planet that originally was going within the solar system there, inside or around Earth, hit Earth, and the metal of it went into the core of the earth, and all the other matter went out and formed the moon, and that's what caused the earth today to be able to... I'm like, really? Do you have to stretch it that far to try to bring these things to bear? It's interesting to read all of the... When you look at the probability of this earth being caused, it's in the trillions. You take every atom there is upon this earth, and it's a one in those that it could happen. And it really goes way beyond that. We need to believe in God's mighty, awesome power. He brought into existence a complex, orderly solar system. He brought into existence the complex bodies that we have in which our spirits dwell. Our spirits, which are God's greatest handiwork, where we are created truly in His likeness, are His greatest works. We are stating these things to remind us of the almighty power of God. And when we look at the lessons that we can learn from the fall of Jericho, we not only learn of the awesome power of God, but we also learn the relation of grace, faith, and obedience. How these things work together. Once again, going back to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 30, the author of Hebrews says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days." By faith, the walls fell after the Israelites had completed what God had told them to do. Who caused the walls to go down? It's not the Israelites. It's the mighty power of God. But He did it only through His grace. And because of the faith of the Israelites and their willingness to act out that which He told them to do, they trusted that if they did what God said, they would receive the blessing as promised by God. The people could have talked at length about how much faith they had in God. Well, God, you know, Jericho's a big city. Really, do we have to walk around? Can't we just say, God, we believe, and you just go ahead and knock it down? And that's the attitude that a lot of people have. Well, you know, what if there's no water available? Why do I need to be baptized? Can't I just say I believe, and I believe that you have the power to save me without me being baptized? Isn't that enough? But when we look at the case of the walls of Jericho and them falling down, we can see quite clearly that it was because of their obedience, because of their faith, and because of the mighty grace of God that these things came to bear. In Romans chapter 5, there in verse 1, we read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified by the grace of God because of the faith that we have in Him. As we look in John chapter 3, there in that most famous probably of verses in the Bible, John chapter 3, there in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We understand that we are saved by faith, but it is a faith that brings about action. Many cannot understand how salvation by faith can be when there's something more required. What if we're saved by faith? Why do I have to go and be baptized? If I'm saved by faith, well, yes, we are justified by faith, but it's that faith that causes us to act according to His will. Just like the Israelites believed that God would deliver them the city, but that faith caused them to act according to what God required of them. Faith avails when it obeys. The walls of Jericho fell by faith after they were encompassed about for 7 days. Surely everyone can see the necessity of that kind of faith today. They did not question God's strange commands. What? Walk around the city? Okay. You got it. You say you're going to deliver us the city, and this is what you want us to do? We'll do it because we believe that you will keep that which you have promised. They did exactly as God required. They were blessed for doing such. Likewise, faith saves us when it moves us to obey God's commands. In Matthew chapter 7, there in verse 24, Jesus speaking there in that famous Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. There, the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. As we look there, we can see that Jesus is saying, you've got to not only hear, but you've got to act. That is what will carry you through. That is what will keep you during the storms of life. John records in 1 John chapter 2, there in verse 3, it says, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. First John chapter 2, there in verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. How? By keeping His word. How do we know that we are part of God? How do we know that His love is there? How do we know that we are a part of His people? Because we keep His word. You see, faith should motivate us to live our lives for God. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at that. We walk, not we sit, not we do nothing by faith. And that's what people who want to believe in faith only, that, well, it doesn't matter what else I do. As long as I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I can be saved. No, Paul says we've got to walk by faith. Walk denotes the action that we're to carry out in our lives. It's ironic that through their lack of faith, the Israelites, those 10 spies who gave their evil report, listed as one of the reasons that they could not take the land, is because they had walled cities. Remember, as they came back there in the book of Numbers we studied a while back, remember they came back out of the land. There were 12 spies that went up. And they spied out the land for 40 days, and they came back, and they said, yes, it is a land truly flowing with milk and honey, and yes, it is a beautiful land, but there's giants in the land. And there are these great big walled cities. We can't take it. And remember, who said, oh yeah, we can. With God's help, we can. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua's faith did not waver, even at that point in time, to the time that he was old. He still had the faith to believe in God, to go up and to march around that city. It was their lack of faith that kept them from entering into the land of Canaan the first time. And it's because of that lack of faith that they went out and they walked. They walked for 40 years in the wilderness. And all those who did not believe fell by the wayside. As we continue looking, we go on and look there and see that we can learn from the fall of the walls of Jericho that God keeps His promises. Folks, we need to understand the great and wonderful blessing in knowing this. When God says He'll do something, He keeps it. That's what the Bible tells us from the very beginning all the way through to the end. God has promised things to us, and every single one of those, they've all come true. leading up to the ones that we're waiting on, where Jesus is coming, and those who are faithful have their eternal home in heaven with God. We know that He'll keep those promises because we can look at all the others. God keeps His promises. As you look there in Joshua chapter 6, and in verse 2, once again, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors." And we go in verse 20. There at the end of the chapter, we see, "So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city." God promised. God delivered. Our God is not like the gods in Greek mythology who play dirty tricks on man. Who say, "I'll do one thing," and then after getting what they want, renege. That's not the God of the Scriptures. The Greeks made their gods in the likeness of human beings. When you look at all the idols of the pagan religions, they all have various human attributes. But you see, God, He's deity. He's different. He's separate. He's apart. We strive to be more like God rather than making God like us. God has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And His promises to us are sure and steadfast. Look with me, if you would, back in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 6, there in verse 11, the author of Hebrews says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you.' And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us." God has set before us these wonderful things, these wonderful promises, and we know that God is faithful and just, and He will deliver to us what He has promised. But we need to remember, it's contingent on our act of faith. God promised to the Israelites, "I'll deliver the city of Jericho to you." But to receive it, they had to walk around the city. He kept His promise as long as they kept their sign. In Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 36, we read, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." God's made that promise, and that home is waiting for us in heaven. But only if we remain faithful to Him. Only if we endure that which is set before us. Looking over in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, there in verse 24, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church there in Colossae, says, "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve." God has made great and precious promises. His promise to us is sure and steadfast. Just like He kept His promise to Abraham. Just like He kept His promise to Noah. Just like He kept His promise to the Israelites. He'll keep His promise to us as long as we keep our side of the bargain. God has promised to provide care for us. In Hebrews chapter 13, much like He told the Israelites, "I'll deliver the city to you." In Hebrews chapter 13, there in verse 5, the author of Hebrews says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" We forget this, don't we? When it gets close to the end of the month and things are starting to run dry, and we forget the faith that we should have in God. When the world is becoming more difficult and is turning further away from God, we forget that God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? We forget that God has promised, "I'll never desert you. I'll never forsake you." Now, we can desert Him, can't we? We can forsake Him, but His promise to us is sure and steadfast. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6, told the church there in Philippi, he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." we can learn many lessons from the fall of Jericho. But let's be reminded that God has made a promise to us, that God's instructions are there for us, that we must abide by His instructions, that we've got to have the faith like the Israelites, the faith that causes us to act according to the will of God, a faith that goes beyond what we may believe is necessary, a faith that goes beyond what mankind believes is necessary, a faith that acts according to the will of God. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read, "For whatever is written aforetime in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." The Old Testament is there to provide us with the examples of God's promises, of God's love, of God's grace, and how He works with those who work with Him. Tonight is your opportunity to set yourself within the bounds of God's mercy, of God's grace. He said, "I will never leave you, I'll never desert you." He sent His Son to die so that you could have salvation. That salvation is available to you only if you obey His will. Now, He doesn't say go march around the building 6 times for 6 days, and on the 7th day march around the building 7 times and then scream at the end and you're saved. I'm sure there are some that go, "That's kind of interesting. Let me try that. It won't save you. And the building won't fall down. I promise you." There are those who will say, "Well, you know, I'll just believe. That should be enough." No, it wasn't enough for Noah to believe that God was going to destroy the world and that He would save him and his family. He had to build the ark. It wasn't enough for the Israelites to go and say, "I believe, God, that You're going to deliver the land to us. Let us just sit here. You conquer everybody and we can just walk right on in." They had to do what He told them. They had to live according to His will. When they fulfilled His will, they received the promises. When they didn't, even though the city was small, they were sent packing. Are you here this evening? Is there a need for you to subject yourself to the will of God? Tonight is your opportunity. Today is that day of salvation. There is no promise of any other. So if you need to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon your faith, act according to the will of God by repenting of your sins and be buried in baptism, then today is the day to fulfill your responsibility to the Lord. And if you fulfill your responsibility to the Lord, He will make a promise to you that there is a home in heaven for you. And we know that He will keep that promise. If you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen away from the Lord, you've lacked the faith to continue to carry on according to His will, you, like the Israelites, have turned away from fulfilling His will, and you're reaping the benefits or the punishment of what you've done, today is the day to return to the Lord. Just like the Israelites, when they went up to conquer Ai, and they found out that there was sin in the camp, they had to purge the camp of that sin. Then they were able to go and to conquer the small city of Ai. Only when you've purged your life from sin, whether you just seek forgiveness, if it's a private sin, you seek forgiveness from God privately, He is willing and just and ready to forgive you of those things. But perhaps you've brought shame and reproach upon the Lord's church, or perhaps you've sinned in such a way that you want the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need their encouragement in overcoming that sin. Today is the day. Tonight is the time. Would you not come forward as we stand and as we sing?